Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us, and welcome to the Classic Series Redrive. Check them up. Let's get started.
Episode 89 of the Classic Series Redrive. Mark Hostetler and Kyle Forsyth joining you from 75 and sunny Queen Creek, Arizona. Logan Reinhold on the soundboard in 70 and sunny Waterloo, Indiana. The Reinhold Tack and Western Wear Studio. Warm there, huh, Logan? I just got a head nod. But yeah, it is. It's been a weird winter weather-wise, but it is kind of neat, kind of fun to have 75 and sunny in Queens Creek.
Yeah, we can't even rub it into the people up north because they're having the same weather we are down here. But no, it's beautiful. I haven't been here yet. It looks like it's a nice place to have a horse show.
Absolutely. How'd you enjoy the drive, Mark? You got the privilege of traveling from Idaho to Arizona. Got to see some new country that you've never seen before.
Yeah, I've never seen, Utah, and driving down through Nevada, through Vegas there and on through, I don't know how many hundreds of miles of desert in Arizona. And so a lot of cacti. Well, it's cacti, as I was informed, not cactuses. And, it was good. It was beautiful country and enjoyed it. It was a long day, but it was a good time.
Annette Fielding grew up down here, and she told me that on those cacti, or on a cactus, each arm takes about 100 years to grow. So you see some of those big ones with, quite a few arms growing out of it. Like, them things are 1,000 years old. But
yeah, Kaylee's determined to take one home, but that ain't happening.
Right. You get thrown in jail for that.
Right.
Don't announce it on the podcast if you are, anyway.
Shoot. But, it's great. It's warm and looks like it's going to be a fun weekend of showing here in Queen Creek. And then, of course, the only other really upcoming show right now is next weekend, just kind of across Phoenix here on the southwest side, is the Buckeye, I guess, kind of a newer facility as well, and equine facility. I don't think anybody's really been there besides probably Enos, checking it out, but supposedly it's quite a facility. And what are there, 10, 11 hitches here? Something like
I think 11. Yep. Yeah. So that should make for some good showing.
Yeah. Looks like it's going to be good weather and everything, but yeah, some more kind of tragic news. Of course, Lorab Dairy Farm, they've been to the finals before, and Classic Series participants Dick Berry there passed away. Condolences to their family. The funeral was on Saturday. Of course, Mark and Jocelyn kind of taking over the horse part of it, been showing the Belgian geldings for a few years now, and always raising, seems like 8 to 12 foals a year. They have a breeding program as well there. So condolences to the Berry family, and just been, Dick, just super guy to hang out and talk with, very knowledgeable, and always had a smile on his face, it seemed like.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun to be around. He was always one memory I always had of Dick is he was always the first one. If you were lucky enough to win a class, he was the first one to your stalls to congratulate you.
Yeah.
Always. Like, just pure gentleman and just a real ambassador for the Belgian breed and for the dairy industry and for anything he was involved in. He just a genuine person, great guy.
Yeah, very well known there in Central New York for his dairy expertise, and served on quite a few boards there in the community. So yeah, just another guy moving on, and it just seems like it's been happening more and more lately. Some of these older gentlemen and legends in the industry have just been getting older and kind of passing on. But it's unfortunate, but everybody's time comes, I guess.
Thoughts and prayers with the Berry family for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And talk about legends. Of course, the big Mid-America Draft Horse Sale in Gordyville there was last week, and honored another legend, the auctioneer Steve Andrews. Of course, he has been on the podcast. If you haven't listened to that, it was a great podcast with Steve and Lyle Chupp and Jaron Miller, and Vernon Yoder and Virgil went above and beyond to honor him. I thought it was pretty special what they did. Steve didn't know anything was going on, and they hired in John Schmidt, they flew him in from Florida, and he sang us a couple songs, had a couple stories about Steve, and then another buddy of his was, you know, a longtime friend, you know, said a couple stories for the crowd that morning and did a nice, Lyle Chupp did a nice speech on him, and just a legend, just an awesome guy to talk with, and, you know, knowledgeable as well. And just a great tribute to Steve on Thursday morning at Gordyville. And Steve got, you know, he choked up a bit, but like I told quite a few people, Vernon and Virgil, I told them, good for you guys to do it now instead of waiting until it's too late, you know, and I think that's what we need to do more of. But heck of a sale they had, though. Man, that kind of kicked things off, and then they just had an unbelievable sale.
Yeah, I always, just the to hear Steve's voice at an auction, just did a fantastic job auctioneering. And although there's a lot of little sayings and stuff that, you know, come about, and you think back that Steve probably started those things.
Yeah.
He always would find a dead spot in the sale or something. He would get everybody kind of motivated, and he'd tell a few jokes in the middle of selling a horse and get everybody kind of bidding.
Yeah, it set the tone, because then soon afterwards, you know, the Pertrin sale started, and of course the Trip Crest mares sold out. Chan, Ronda, and the crew did an outstanding job fitting them and prepping them. They sold two of them for $77,000. One was a BP Prestige mare, and another mare was out of
Eclipse,
Centerview Eclipse, lead mare there that sold for big money, $77,000. And that kind of set the tone for the day. The rest of the day was just wild. I mean, they sold a lot of expensive horses, and the market was strong, real strong.
Yeah, it, you know, there's been some hitches kind of moving on. I think Jane's still going to be really involved in the industry, and she's still excited about being in draft horses and stuff. And I think Chad and Rhonda even are still going to show some horses for Jane. So excited to see them kind of at the show. Is just an end of the hitching part of it, possibly. And but that being said, like you said, Mark, the demand for horses is still incredible.
Yeah. Strong demand for yearlings there. And then, of course, they another record was set with a gelding that brought $180,000. You know, that horse has got siblings, an Eagle Crest King's Gallant. Everybody knows the Homer horse that was the lead of Express for a few years there, quite a few years, actually. And then, you know, the full brother, J.W. Trooper. So congratulations to Jacob Weaver for breeding and raising the horse, and for Andy Beachy there at Spring Hill Services, fitting him and presenting him, and just an unbelievable gray gelding, sold for $180,000 to Ames Construction, record setter there. So congratulations to them. And another Pleasant View King gelding that actually my brother had consigned there brought $100,000. There was no lack of a demand for geldings, that's for sure. They were unbelievable.
Yeah. And a lot of others in that 50, 60 range. And yeah, that was Belgian gelding. 92.5 was the top Belgian.
Yeah. Congrats there to Cody Woodbury, fitting him for Kirk and Mary Fenoff there out of the SR Whiskey stud that they raised and now have recently sold to the Schmuckers there in Grable, Indiana. Tremendous big Belgian gelding. And then, of course, Belgian mares on Friday, a couple.
Sherwood, shout out to Don Sherwood for purchasing him.
100%, yeah. Congrats to Don Sherwood and Scott there buying the horse. And then a big Thunder Branch Prince mare brought $70,000 there, consigned by Tim Loniger from Grable, Indiana there. And TLA Ranch, the Welsh family bought her there on Friday for $70,000. So, you know, the high ones were high and the low ones were high too.
Yeah, there wasn't really. Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, you know, the concern was is that the middle would be right out of it. But, man, there was a lot of horses in that, even that 15 to 30, 40, 50 range, which is very promising.
Yeah. No, for sure. And, of course, another sale coming up is the Topeka Livestock Auction in the middle of March. I believe those dates are, what, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of March, I believe.
Yeah.
That whole week of Topeka's got the big.
Yeah, you show up there on Monday, you can watch stuff sell all the way till Friday. So no shortage of things to watch sell, that's for sure.
Crossbreds to Clydes to pulling horses to Belgians to Pertrins, anything you want, we'll be there. Middle of March, that's the next big sale coming up.
Yep. What do we got for Classic Series news, Mark?
Brenda just, you know, text me kind of same news as always, get shows to register. There's still kind of some of them are dragging their feet a little bit, getting their registrations in. Another is the youth scholarship application. If you're a youth that has been signed up for the youth scholarship program, and if you have any questions regarding applications, just contact any of the committee members, get your youth scholarship applications in. Hall of Fame nominations close April 15th. We got a good list. We got some more wanting to get on there. And also, tickets to the finals are on sale. I believe they are on sale on drive6.com as well as the michianaevents.com as well. So go online, get your tickets bought for the finals, of course, in September and Shipshawana again this year. And just a note on the Sparkplug Coffee. It's been kind of out of commission. Cassie Shaw from the youth, our youth scholarship secretary, she's been working with a company to try to get it to work. And that's about where we're at right now. She's in communication with Sparkplug to try to get it to work. And hopefully we'll have that problem resolved here shortly as well. Summer clothing. Go on drive6.com and buy some gear. You know, we have any available from the Redrive to Drive 6 to
Youth Cart,
yeah. Classic Cart, Classic Halter, everything. Get your clothing online right there. It's pretty easy to do. There is a little bit of a wait because everything is custom ordered. So it's not like you're going to order it today and get it, you know, 4 days from now.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I ordered some Redrive swag and excited to represent with it. Haven't got it yet, but
yeah. This episode, we had a chance to sit down with Brett and Annette Fielding from the High Point Clydesdales from Hooper, Utah, not Hooper, Hooper, as I was told. So what a great family and great people and a passion for Clydesdales and showing horses in general.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been around Brett and Annette and walked away feeling better about yourself and just life in general. I mean, they're just great people. They're very uplifting people.
No, for sure. And, you know, props to Brett, went and bought that big TV for everybody to watch the football playoffs in Loveland and Denver this year. They always had a crowd of people around there and they just love it. You know, that's what they love to do. And just awesome catching up with them and getting their story.
Yeah. And they got three boys. They're great guys too.
Mm-hmm.
They're all starting families on their own now. And maybe not quite on Jeff and Dylan high school and Jake, Jackson married now and soon to start a family, I'm sure himself. And it's pretty exciting watching a family like that. They do it for the love of it. And it's enjoyable to watch for sure.
Yeah. Drop by a note on the mailbag. We keep saying we're going to get to them and we will here in the next episode or two. We will get to some of your mailbag questions as well.
Yeah. We've got a big stack of them. So we're going to have to start doing some recording on those, but the Reinhold Tech and Western Wear mailbag.
Yeah. Drop by and drop us a note if you'd like. Enjoy the episode and we'll see you guys down the road.
Crystal Springs Stables, located in the heart of Amish country in Millersburg, Ohio. Specializing in stallion services, sales, and show fitting, a full line of equine repro equipment and supplies, reproduction seminars, equine reproduction services, including frozen semen collection and storage. Their stallion lineup this season includes Orndorff's Master Encore, Whispering Winds Cactus, Agristor's Diamond's Dream, Rossland Riley, Oakhaven's Illusion, and Dale's Stonecrest Bentley. Crystal Springs Stables, looking forward to partnering with you for success in the coming year. 330-231-2776. That's 330-231-2776. Contact Crystal Springs Stables for all your breeding needs.
Joining us today is Brett and Annette Fielding from the High Point Clydesdales in Hooper, Utah. Yep. Is that right?
Had a little Dutch accent to that, Hostetler.
I nailed it. Hooper. That's where you live or that's where your business is? Or
so we grew up, Brett grew up in Hooper and so did I. And we lived there for many years and started a roofing company there. And then when we started getting more horses, we needed more space. So we ended up selling our place there and bought 40 acres in a town about an hour away. So Freeman lives in our old house. and we live in Logan, Utah, which is a little closer to the Idaho border.
So Hooper is where the
office is
for the construction roofing company is.
So that's what you do. You have a big, big roofing company or construction in general?
Roofing is what we do. Metal roofs and shingle roofs is kind of what we do the most of.
Okay. High school sweethearts, you said you're from the same town. How'd that play out?
I went on a date with my mom one time.
Weird
enough.
Serious?
Weird enough. Yeah, my mom grew up in the same town, and then she and my dad got married and moved away, and I lived in a lot of different places. And when I moved back, Brett had already graduated from high school. And so I didn't know him until after high school. Our church youth group would go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and float the Snake River. And that's where we met on a float trip. And that's why our oldest is called Jackson.
Nice.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, we learn all kinds of stuff doing this.
Yeah. But we did get married. I was 19 when we got engaged, 20 when we got married. Brett was 22. So, in fact, next month on February 4th, we celebrate 30 years married.
The anniversary. Right? 30 years.
Awesome. How'd you get into the roofing business, Brett?
So I did roofing in high school for $5 an hour, I think. It was a big paying job, $5 an hour. And I worked a couple of years doing roofing and then went on a mission for the LDS Church. And
to the Philippines.
So I didn't have to do roofing. It was a better choice. No. And then when I come back, I started into college and started roofing again just because I could fit it in my schedule. And it's funny, I'd grown up a little bit and I started making a lot of money and said, I'm just going to do
this. So you started with another, like a company that was already existing? And then did you buy it out or did you just say, I'm just going to start my own?
We started our own. So we started our own company. Me and Annette started the company the same month we got married.
Oh, wow. Really?
I had a great job with health insurance and I supported us through a few lean years.
So how big's your business now?
So now we have about 40 employees and we do about 30 homes a month. And sometimes those homes, I call it a home, a door. Sometimes that's an apartment building. A lot of times right now it's an apartment building. So it doesn't matter how big, we do lots of commercial multifamily units.
But mostly all residential.
Yep.
You pay them $5 an hour too.
Yeah. That won't get you very far.
That's great. So, and talking to you over how does the business evolve? Obviously, I mean, you started there. There's been some years where new construction was probably the way to go. And there's obviously now there's new construction, maybe slowed down a little. Is it re-roofs or is what the business mainly consists of? Yep.
So we jump really quick. New construction, we transition very quickly to tear offs. And sometimes we're doing four or five of those a week. But in most of the time, we have 30 homes a week. And some of those, like I say, it might be a 200 square apartment building. It's still a house to me, a room.
Brett's really probably pretty, a little bit, doesn't give himself credit because there's a lot of guys that will tell you can't make any money in new construction. The margins are so lean. Like, how do you make a buck? But volume makes up for your margins. And so he does a lot of volume and a lot of hard work and doesn't have to skin that cat quite so deep every time. He can just make a little profit and do a lot of houses. And he's really, really smart about how he buys his shingles and his materials and buying the best way you can and making those things work. And sometimes that means our shop is full of underlayment and nails. I mean, geez, didn't you buy like an entire boat of nails from China last year? We haven't bought nails for a year.
Yeah.
Because this guy got a good deal on buying nails. And
it's on sale, we buy it. Yeah.
Clydesdales and shingles.
That feeds right. Two horses for the week.
The ReDrive podcast is supported by the Draft Horse Journal, the world's foremost heavy horse publication, now celebrating 60 years of quarterly releases since 1964. If you work, breed, exhibit, pull, log, trade, or simply admire heavy horses, the journal should be coming to your mailbox. Visit drafthorsejournal.com to subscribe today.
Speaking of horses, did any of you have any horse background at all?
I have zero.
And when we got into it, like I had grown up with a sister that did barrel racing and pole bending and all the different things, breakaway roping, but horses were chores for me. So I used horses quite a bit. I liked horses in hunting season. And other than that, it was just work. But that all changed.
We never owned a horse for the first 20 years of our marriage, really. Yeah. Like under 20.
Yeah.
But then we had all this grass out behind our house and a few little acres. And so we ended up buying some cows, and you do the buy two beef and sell it, sell your friends one and eat half. And, you know, then you take the money and buy two more.
Then you got some boys in the house that
they wanted to eat all the beef. So truthfully, what it was, none of our friends would answer the phone anymore because we'd be like, hey, you want to buy some meat? And
at the corner store, you're getting a Coke and your buddy's like, out the other door, and you're like, what's going on? Like, dude, I don't want to buy a bee.
I'm done. So they're like, oh, this isn't, we're not selling our beef. So our oldest son, Jackson, was 9 at the time, and he was like, Mom, I got this book, look. He was a bookworm, and he said, look at these Shire horses, these big old draft horses. They're so cool. Let's get those to eat the grass. So we got on the internet late at night one night, started looking, and some website called Horse Clicks. It wasn't even drafts for sale, you guys.
I was going to say drafts for sale. Or...
No, we didn't even know about that. So we found a Shire mare and a stallion. Well, we called this lady, she's a horse trader, and she sold us a 3-for-1 package, a pregnant mare and a stallion, right? Like,
thought you had it by the tail, huh?
We're all about buying a deal, right? So we buy these two, and they come out, and the guys hauled them for 3 days out in Michigan. We bought them sight unseen.
We didn't own the horse trailer.
We had them shipped out, and the guy hands Brett the lead rope for the stallion, and it about drugged him. You know.
Didn't even have a chain on him, huh? Yeah. They wanted to see this greenhorn get dragged to the trailer.
To get him off the trailer.
Yeah.
And hand me the lead rope, and I literally went to the pasture as quick as I could with him dragging me. And I undid him and hooked him, and he took off running. I went, oh, damn.
Do you think our fences will hold that? I don't know. I guess.
Yeah.
Who would you have bought him from?
It was just some lady. She did trail rides, and so she wasn't even a draft horse breeder. Oh, she just owned a couple of shires. And then the mayor had a baby, and we were like, yeah, we're Shire people. And we bought a couple of brother and sister team of Shires. And then we heard about the Clydesdale. And it was the first year that the Clydesdale went to the Mech.
It was the old Mech.
The old Mech.
It was like the old camper factory.
In Howe.
We went there.
It was their first sale. And it was our first sale.
Yep.
At the Mech. It's the first time it moved from Springfield.
From Springfield. That would have been what, about 2012, 13?
Probably 12 or 13, I guess. So, and my dad went with us, and because he was just in for the ride, like, let's see what's going on. And then Brett, so you probably have seen Corey that works with us.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a dear friend forever and ever. And Brett's like, well, if I'm going to buy horses at this sale, because we're Shire people, we're going to buy a bunch of Shire mares because we have a stallion. We're going to be breeders.
Right.
So we're like, crap, we don't have a trailer. And we found a draft horse size trailer in Missouri.
You guys would know him. He was a vet just in not far out of Kansas, out of St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
And he had Belgians. He's a vet.
We don't know their name. Anyway, they had gotten out and
Doc Allen.
And Brett says, Corey, we need a trailer if we're going to buy horses at this sale. So he sends Corey with the truck and heads to Missouri to buy this trailer. And we flew to the Mech. And then Corey's job was to get the trailer and come to the sale.
Did he make it?
He made it. Yeah, he made it.
Did you get it filled up at the sale, or how did that go?
She went to the restroom. Which, like, I don't know, like lot 7 or 10 or 12, I don't even know. And she goes to the bathroom. And by the time she gets back, her dad goes, "We bought a filly."
Wait till you see her. She's really cute. And then we ended up buying a yearling colt from Budweiser, that filly, and then a big black flag. So they all matched really well. They didn't match at all. But they were all Clydesdales. We didn't buy any Shires. And we got to meeting a few of the Clyde people and talking to some of them barely. I mean, we were kind of just these weirdos that got a lot of odd looks, and took those three horses home. And that was an adventure in itself, trying to figure out how to get a horse in a trailer when they don't want to at a fairground. How to lay over, where to lay over. We didn't know any of that.
So where did you lay over? Did you just
It's like Lancaster in Event Center. Does that sound right? In Lincoln, Nebraska. That big place. And literally me and Corey got the horses off and we got two of them back on.
And then I got a phone call.
3 or 4 hours later, I got the third one back on.
They were 4 hours.
What an experience that is.
So they got them home, and we all of a sudden we liked Clydesdales, and we were kind of interested in them. And then we went to.
So did you sell the Shires, or did you keep the Shires?
We kept them for a bit yet, but eventually we did sell them. We had gone to the LA County Fair. It used to be the National Shire Show. Years ago. And it was probably
Grass Valley and LA County kind of back to back.
And we had gone to LA County. We took our kids out to that.
We had just looked on the internet for where can we see what they do with these horses. And she said, the National Shire Show is in
Pomona. The LA County Fair. So we took our kids on a little weekend trip and went to that. And when we saw the hitches go around.
So that would have been like Warings.
It was Warings. So we were on front row, down low, and the six goes past. And I don't know what happened, but I looked at her and I said, I don't know anything about this, but I think we're going to do it.
That's what I wanted.
I don't know what it was, but it just got me. Just having them come past, it got to the inside of me, I guess you could say. And I was like, I have never seen... Didn't know what they did. Literally, we went out there not knowing what we would see as far as the show. And left there wanting to buy more and to do that, whatever that was.
Well, and I think we would have seen Warings. We would have seen probably the pop-offs there. Maybe Tony Connect. So there were lots of feather feet there. So we were kind of hooked into the feather feet. It wasn't really another option for us.
So then when did you actually start hitching? How did that transition happen? You just jumped in, got after
it. We had to buy horses that matched each other. That was a pain.
Our first show was the Weber County Fair. So that's there in Utah. There's a handful
It used to be the Rocky Mountain Regional Clydesdale Show.
Yep.
And so there were a lot of...
Yeah, that was in Ogden. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My grandpa judged that show one time years ago. And he ran a red light and got... T-boned in the rental car. It was a total mess, but
we had good.
That's a beautiful spot. Beautiful spot.
We did have good judges of that show, and that's where we started. So Leon Bennett is a local guy there that hooked. I remember
taught us how to drive.
Yep. Chuck Luter.
His daughter is actually the secretary for the youth.
Cassie Shaw for the youth. Cassie's dad taught me how to drive because I loved it. I like driving the team, and he taught me how to drive before. And Brett was like, whatever, until he decided, okay, we're going to hitch horses. Then
once it got competitive, or I saw the competition side,
So did you guys build a barn, or did you have a barn? Or
so we actually lived at a house with just some acreage, 5 acres, I think it was. And then the neighbor was selling his place, and he was a chariot racer. So...
He had a barn.
So we ended up purchasing that house and the barn, mostly just for the barn.
So we renovated the house and then we moved into that barn. Yeah. And he was a good guy. He's like, well, why don't you keep your horses over there until you can build a barn? It'll help my place sell. And so we got over there and was like, oh, this is nice. And we can make this work. And we told him, how about we just buy it from him? So we fixed up the house and put runners in the house. And then we would go out to the barn every night, every day.
So, and when you first started showing, what did you show? Just a team or before?
I think
I showed a farm team at the Weber County Fair.
But I think, so when we were out at the MAC, we had bought a Leon, like, because we knew we wanted to cook something. We bought three not matching horses, and we bought a Leon from Bob, or from Jim. And Bob helped us get harness and get set up, right? Because that's exactly right up his alley.
Oh, yeah.
Takes good care of the newbies.
Well, and I want to say a little plug about that, because, you know, being somebody, all you guys do it because your granddad did it and taught your dad, and your dad taught you. And we did not have that. We paid a lot of stupid tax in the beginning because we just didn't know anything about it. And people who took their time to sit and talk with us, that was invaluable. And what I would say, I get emotional about it because you just never know. You never know who your kindness affects. And I tear up when I think about Bob and the hours that man spent on the phone with me explaining such elementary stuff for you guys that you've known forever. It's second nature to you. So don't ever pass up the opportunity to be a mentor, because you never know who it will end up affecting. You do. It's like a ripple in a pond.
Well, we've had Bob on the podcast before. He's a good sponsor too. So for all you listeners,
that's the guy you talk
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's how he's built his business. Exactly. I mean, he's built his business around helping people rather than not just selling stuff. It's helping people, and that's his business model. Yeah, solving your problems and educating people and teaching them, and I mean, that's.
Well, and the same for us, for Mr. Bennett, Leon Bennett. I mean, he spent hours and hours trying to teach this idiot how to drive a team and having some scary stuff happen with his own horses, you know, but he let me learn and make those mistakes. And, you know, anytime you have a chance to be a mentor to somebody, don't turn it off. So anyway, then, yeah, we started buying horses that matched each other. We kept going back to the Clyde sale. We were addicted. We loved it. That's a hell of an event. If you have an opportunity to go to the Clyde sale, don't miss it.
Everybody says that, like, Belgians and Pertrans have horse sales. The Clydesdales have an event that they sell horses at.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And the camaraderie that they
spend 3 days selling 100 head. And in Topeka, they sell over 1,000 in 3 days.
We would like to thank Shipshewana Harness and Supply in Shipshewana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshewanaHarness.com. Follow them on Facebook or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshewana Amish country Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs.
Next thing you know, Brett was learning how to drive a stick. And so we had a farrier that was invaluable to us. It came Zephyrin Leroubier.
Oh, really?
Oh, Canada. Yeah.
He was your first farrier?
He was our first farrier.
Wow.
And he would come down and shoe horses for 3 or 4 days as long as Jackie would let him. She didn't love it, but.
Because I guess looking back, he was probably shoeing like Thornley's. He's probably making a run.
Yes. Yeah.
Through
so
there.
Fly him down and he would shoe for us. And then we'd put him on the little Salt Lake Express bus that goes
up to
Idaho. And he'd shoe for the Belgian, the Thornley's up there. And then he'd come back down and fly back home out of Salt Lake.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but Zeph was kind enough that he would hook the six with Brett and help us and teach. He kind of taught you a lot. Yeah. I mean, Leon Bennett taught you a lot of driving.
I remember one of the Weber County fairs, we hooked our first four, and it was Dennis
Gordaco
was the judge.
Right.
And I remember coming out of the four, and after the show, of course, he'd come around the barn. He goes, I really liked your four, but you're gosh damn
lead team was getting ran over by the wheel.
It was a good piece of advice.
But no, like having a conversation with him and feeling like tying things together and feeling more, even more a part of the breeders that are up in Canada in that area. We had great conversation with Dennis before he left. Yeah. So that little fair, people like your usually grandpa coming.
On yeah. People's lives.
Yep.
Well, and then so full circle. Now there's a lot of a Gordeco influence in the High Point Bites the Hills.
Yeah.
You can say that. Well, we probably should talk about, we showed our own six horse hitch for about 2 years.
Yeah.
On our own.
Right.
And then there just came a time in our life where balancing our business and balancing the horses started taking so much more time because we were enjoying it so much.
And you wanted to get more competitive.
Yeah, well, Brett is super.
No, I didn't notice watching the Cowboys
game. Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, competitive and Cowboys fan.
Yesterday, I quickly didn't want to watch it.
Bought a brand new 50-inch TV so we could all watch football in Loveland, and it almost got smashed yesterday afternoon.
Almost didn't make the show.
But then once... So you have this balance of, I can't do this for a living. I got to pay the bills. You know, what do we do? And it was like just fortune where we said, we've got to pull back and focus on our business more. And we needed a farrier because Zeph had, you know, gone on to other things and wasn't going to be traveling down anymore. And it all happened for us at the same time. And we're like, who could we get that could shoe our horses for us or even just pull our shoes off at that point? It was, you know, we needed shoes pulled. And so we dared call Freeman Yoder. Now, I'll tell you, we had come to the Denver Stock Show for the prior 3 or 4 years, fangirling on all those big hitches at the Denver Stock Show. We bought tickets. We sat and watched. We'd walk through the barns and not even dare talk to you people. Because you're so fancy and so cool. And like, oh my gosh, there's Brian Coleman. Look at him.
Little did you know.
I couldn't even, I remember the first, that would have been the first place we saw Kyle because it was like a 14-year-old kid.
He looks like 18 now, right?
To the outfit for the finals.
Oh, yeah.
When the finals were there.
And you looked tiny. You were like 14. No, you weren't 14, but you looked 14.
I had a pregnant wife on that trip, I believe.
But yeah, I mean, we would walk through the barns and absolutely die over the horses, the hitches, and
the wagon.
Like, just get teary-eyed sitting in the stands going, these people do this. Oh my gosh. So we knew who Freeman was. And like, dare we call him? I don't know. We had, you know. But we called and it just turned out he was looking for something to do. And so we were able to match up and had him come out and just pull shoes. And he kind of was like, ugh, wide claws. I don't think you're too excited about the feather. I don't know. But then it was like, oh, your horses are pretty nice. Like who helps you buy horses? And no one helps buy horses. Brett has a really good horse. He just does.
Whatever.
And he sees him and he likes him and he knows what he likes. So anyway, Freeman was tickled with like that we had decent horses. They were well behaved and drove nice. And we said, well, hey, would you be interested in maybe driving some Clydesdales? After he shoot for us and then he left and we kind of talked it over.
Yeah.
And so we kind of put it out there and he took the job. We don't know how we were that lucky, but he did. And so he's worked for us ever since. I think we're going on 7 years now.
Maybe longer. Yeah.
I'd have to be about, like, I started at Smith's, I think, and it's been, I'm starting into my 7th year. And I think Freeman was there
a year or two
before I was there. Maybe so 8. Might be even more.
He probably can count till the minute. Like, business
time flies when you're having fun. Yeah.
Anyway, so we got Freeman working for us, and then we very quickly became very, you know, that didn't take long at all.
So, things that you can't, like, not knowing or coming into this, we didn't know bitten rigs and different things that prep a horse. The hours of sled driving that we learned real quick. Okay, that's what getting a horse ready.
All the homework. That's a man who knows how to do his homework. That's for sure. So, anyway, we had Freeman work for us. And then somewhere in there, we developed a relationship, like you said, with Will Way. We ended up getting a couple of horses from Wes and Kristen.
I think it was 2018, after the 2018 World Show, because they had done so good in Halter, and we actually had a really good show that show as well. And I remember talking on the way home and going, we need to try.
We could get some of those.
Because it's not, the Clyde world's a little different. Like, not everybody wants to open their barn or sell their horse, right?
Yeah.
And for a long time, I would hit somebody up to buy their horse, and they'd be like, yeah, well, he might come for sale, but I got to call Josh first.
How did that make you feel?
Oh my gosh. It was so frustrating.
Like, didn't matter in Canada, the US.
Express had put dibs on every good Clydesdale in the entire country. And nobody was interested in telling us. We couldn't get people to talk to us.
It was tough for a bit because Josh was, and he is, that's another mentor, right? And
position.
Had put a huge stamp in the competitive Clydesdale world. And so.
And as a breeder, right, you would want to sell to the Express Clydesdale. That was very prestigious. And so nobody wanted to sell the field of ones from Utah, you know?
Yep.
So we had a hard time buying horses and ended up getting in contact with Wes and Kristen. And we thought, well, we got to figure out where we can buy some young stock and see. And you ended up talking to Wes.
I ended up calling Wes. And I think they just know every year we'll take two or three. I was going to say one or two, but it seems like it ends up three more than one.
Gladly.
But, what we've done
is a sight unseen deal.
So you basically shop for your Clydesdales like your shingles and roofing nails, and when you can get the discount,
the only way to get a
volume discount, right?
Is as a 5 month old. You buy a weanling,
and
it's a lot more affordable than a finished horse. So that's what we do. And Wes and Kristen choose which horses come to us. We do not go up there and pick through. We don't know. And
they send you two or three foals.
It started that way, and we were so happy with the first crop that by the second crop or third crop, I'm just like, why would I come up and tell you, why would I screw that up?
And for them to have, it's been a great deal for them too, because the advertising that they're getting out, I mean, you guys present the horses fantastic and had a lot of success with them. So that's in turn promoting their breeding operation so successfully, and
100%.
It's just good for everybody.
Well, and I said this to somebody at the World Show in Manitoba this year. They have entrusted us with their most valuable thing, and that's their good name. And we don't want to screw that up. It is very important to us that we promote their horses and that we present them, you know, in the best light possible. And it's not a hard job to do with what they send us. Their breeding is incredible.
Let's go back to so 18 and then again in 23. As far as I could tell from what I seen, there's some serious ass kicking going on. The High Point Clydesdales, two-time world champions and pretty well cleaned house at two of the last two world shows.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that and what that means to you guys.
In 18, the schedule was tough, and we would show the six and it would take, you know, hours because they had like that was kind of a Cinderella thing. It was very, very unexpected. And I'd never had to buy pizza or beer before. It was so daunting, but then we had smaller classes after that, but it was already like, we're like, yeah, we're not coming back. Like, we don't know what to do with what we got going on here as it is. So we didn't do a lot of the smaller classes at the 18 show, and we really regretted that and felt bad about it. So in 23, it was our goal to make sure that we supported that show. And we told Calvin Martin and the show committee for the world show in Manitoba, we said, we're coming and we're doing every class you've got. And we did.
We did. I think we took 14 head up.
Yeah.
And 14. We did a lot more halter than I've ever done.
Than Brett ever wants to wake up that early for it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm a sucker for the hitch, maybe not as much for the halter, but we did. We hooked every class that we had a possibility of fitting into. And it was important to us. We did. We worried about it being less supported because coming off of COVID and
being up in Canada, yeah. You know, just that not many people would make the trip. And we wanted to make sure we supported that show in every way we could.
Well, and I guess my motto on that, and showing at a couple world shows, there's really nothing to save them for. Like, yeah. There's nothing bigger than that. So,
right.
I mean, use right. them. Use the crap out of them and try to win as much as you can and do well in as much as you can. And
100%.
Yeah. I mean, within reason, you don't want to hurt your horses, but.
Right. Well, and, you know, you hear a lot about the Clydes don't compete with some of these other breeds. And that is your chance. That removes that excuse.
Right.
You get up there and you show what you've got. So
absolutely.
That's how we felt about that.
And that show, I remember, I don't know how many times I looked around going, there's a lot more fancy Clydes, hitch Clydes than I'd seen anywhere. Like there was a ton.
Then you see it in like the classic.
It was very well represented with powerful, beautiful Clydes. And it's surprising what hides up in Canada sometimes.
Yeah,
because you got lots of little
Well, there's a lot of Clyde hotbed breeding programs. Right.
Exactly, and they can't make the trip to every show down in the U.S., so we don't see them that much. But I remember there multiple times being just in awe of all the beautiful turnouts that were there. There was
a lot of incredible things bred and raised in the hills of Manitoba, if I must say so myself.
Yeah. Kyle being one of them.
But I you know, and a lot of what, I mean, and I guess my family bred Clydes in southwestern Manitoba, which were basically 40 miles from Brandon. Right. And I mean, the PMU industry, when they were doing the
In its heyday,
I mean, there was
a lot.
Like, you look back at when Great American and Owl Creek and years ago and Cobbs and some of those hitches, so many of those horses came out of those breeding programs up there. And I think a lot of it was they didn't get halter broke till they were two or three. And so, and nobody was like babying those things to stay alive. I mean, it was like the strongest survived up there. And yep. I mean, it was some big hearted Clydes in all of those breeding programs. And that makes good hitch horses.
Yeah, they do make good hitch horses. And we do, when we get some of them, most of the time they've been tied to a donkey named Truffles.
I've seen videos of that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They get that. But they are a little wily. And so when we get them to our house, they get a lot of love and a lot of attention and in the barn.
Absolutely.
Every day. And you know what? It all works out.
So you'd have quite a bit of young stuff around there. Like three yearlings, three 2-year-olds, three 3-year-olds.
So we have seven coming 2-year olds because we've bred a couple of our own. And we finally wrestled Wes for some fillies. You know, we made our mark as his go-to for great stud colts, great gelding prospects. And so we've had to beg, borrow, and steal and plead a lot on our knees for some fillies, but we've got some.
We've got some.
That we're really excited
about.
So
you're planning on doing some breeding then?
Yes. So we have seven coming 2-year-olds and then the coming yearlings. Four.
On the way here to this show, I teased Raymond and said, next year we're going to show six of 3-year-olds. And he kind of was like, yeah, no. It's not going to happen at this show. They wouldn't even be 3-year-olds. It would be, coming crazy.
So, we like the young ones. We are driving a stallion in our hitch right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we really like what he's producing and his athleticism. He's not the best halter horse. He's not the best hitch horse, but he's the best of both, we feel like, in the Clydes. And so we're very proud to show him. We got him from Willoway as well. and we've got offspring from him at home. So.
The Smith family has been in the meat snack business since 1975. There are now four generations of Smiths working with Glenwood Snacks. Glenwood beef jerky is made with solid pieces of 100% premium beef and smoked with real wood smoke. Their jerky is in high protein, low in calories, and darn good to eat. Also, look out for new lines of meat sticks. Look for the Double S Belgians, the equine ambassadors of Glenwood beef jerky, at a show near you. Browse our many flavors of 100% beef jerky, signature meat sticks, and snack bundles at glenwoodsnacks.com. Follow on Facebook, Instagram, or by calling 208-624-9851. Orders over $50 ship for free. Glenwood Snacks.
You, in your horse ventures and buying horses, you ever go pick up some horses from Budweiser and have some kids in a
my trailer? Kids are finally texting you.
No.
We may have, on one of our trips to Budweiser, I think we picked up two or three horses.
So, yeah.
And we may have done that.
It was July.
We may have went from, like, what is that, Nebraska City?
Yeah. All the way to St. Louis.
With kids
in the gooseneck of the
horse trailer, that may have happened.
Was there a camera in the trailer at least? Or
no, what were they doing? They were playing with toys in the shade.
No, they were. We made a little bed up there. I laid back there too while we drove.
I don't think.
It, yes, I did.
I know when you would open the door from a couple hours. And the boys run it. It's not worse than if the horses run it.
So you guys seem like the perfect couple. Ever thought about splitting up at an IHOP? Let's hear this story.
So this was when we were. You're pulling all the tricks out. So when we were first married, we weren't married, but a couple years. I may be a doodler. Like, I like to just draw on everything, mess with everything. I remember.
You can't take him to the grocery store because he stuck his thumb in every tomato. Like, what are you
doing? So we had one trip to the IHOP where I actually, they used to have those like three flavors of syrup. Mm-hmm. And it would come in a little tray. Mm-hmm. I may have filled that tray with one of the syrup and then stuck it back down, and she was out in the car. Only I could go find my own way.
Whoa.
Oh, I was so mad. What kind of ruined stuff?
Yeah. She's
better. Oh, man.
That's the worst thing our kids can think to tell Kyle. You know, our youngest, Jess, loves Kyle and Marcia. Loves them. Loves their family, their kids. I think he would go live with them if he could.
He's got quite a mane, too. I mean,
well, Marsha's the only one.
Best hair in the family, if I do say so myself.
And Jess has got quite the nice mustache.
Yeah, it's just dirt. It's just a little bit of dirt.
Talk about your kids. How many kids you have? And
we have three sons. Our oldest, Jackson.
Just got married.
Just got married a year ago. Celebrated his year with his new wife. And she's so sweet and wonderful. We never had a daughter before, so that's fun.
Yeah, you got a good one.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
She is a good girl.
If the other two boys can get as good a wives as...
We'd be way lucky.
Yeah. They both Jackson, just graduated from college. Jackson's got an ag business degree, and he's putting out his resume spring. Right now he's working for Brett. Somebody's got to shovel the snow at home while we're showing horses. And Jacob is our middle boy. He's 22, and he kind of handles a lot of the farm operations for us, and he's actually going to be moving into the roofing stuff this spring after we get done back from this show. And then Jess is 16, and he's attending high school. He's a junior and in the FFA. In fact, last year at Denver, his high school FFA group came to Denver to the stock show. So he got to show off for all the cute girls.
I was going
to
say, he's probably got about three girlfriends, does he?
He's got one that he really likes.
Okay.
She's adorable. So.
She must like his mullet.
She likes the mullet. He thinks he's going to get a perm in that mullet.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
It's a little straight. I mean, it could use some volume.
I told him he needs to do it. Oh, he says the perm lasts up to 3 months. That's impressive. He's got it nailed down. And the boys all like the horses. And
yeah, they do. They like the horses. They like going to shows. They like to be involved as they can. So they all can drive teams. And the oldest one thinks he can drive a four, but I don't know when the last time was that he practiced that.
But that's kind of neat. You get to spend time as a family. Essentially, that's probably what's the love of the horses gets you into it and stuff. But
staying in it is something that you can all do together.
Yeah.
That's one thing we've learned as we've traveled over the last 10 years is our kids have friends from all over the country, just like your kids. And that group is fun to watch and their friendships. And they even...
They have like a Facebook group or some, I don't know if it's TikTok or what, but they're all in it. Like,
I missed the invite on that.
You didn't make the cut.
Yeah, I didn't make the cut. I must be too old.
But they're all talking to each other. They know what's going on in each other's lives. In fact, when we were getting here, I think it was Jess said, oh, pop-ups won't come in until later because they didn't leave. I'm like, how do you know? And he's like, oh, I know. Because he's talking to Jackson and Sebastian and they all know each other. Uh-huh. So I love that.
Yeah.
I love that for our kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's something we're all very lucky of. We know people from all over the country and the world, you know, mm-hmm. just from
separate horse habit. This weekend, of course, Mark and I, we got Everly and Kanan. So the older kids, they get along great, but Everly and Kanan, they're 3 and 2. Well, almost 3 two. And almost 2.
Yeah.
And they're still very possessive of things. And I think they literally like beat the crap out of each other so that they can hug and say sorry.
Yeah. It's gotten to that point where one's sitting on a chair and the other one will go punch him in the face. So then they hug each other and say sorry.
Yeah.
All the politeness, the newness has worn off.
Oh, yeah. And then everybody sees this happen. So then everybody's egging it on all day. Yeah. And it's like, oh.
And you hear a group of people saying, fight, fight, fight. 2 and 3 year old.
And we all go and look. And it's like, they're 2 and 3, you guys. Quit telling them to fight. Oh, shoot. No, it's awesome.
Good kids. Yeah, my kids say, you remember when we used to go on like dirt bike trips, Dad? You know, we don't take those kind of vacations anymore. We take showcations, but I don't think they'd trade it if it really came down to it.
No. That was my concern with our oldest when he got married, because I was like, all of a sudden, Dad, Mom, they're not the boss. He's got a boss, right? That's his wife. But I've also been so surprised, and she's quickly fell in love. And I kind of go with the horses and the busyness of the house and the farm. And so
she's very sad that she doesn't get to come to Denver this year. She got a new job and she can't take time off.
Yeah.
It's like the best hobby ever for hardworking people.
Personalities,
yeah.
They give them a whole bunch more work to do on vacation. That's what we like.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's hear it's kind of a staple on the episode, but favorite horse, favorite show.
Oh, wow. You have to think for a minute, and it's going to be different from each of us.
Would it be Robo?
Robo?
He was a good one. He had a cool front end.
He would always get out. Is that true? So.
They have been talking to our kids. Back when we showed alone.
He's like, a horse we bought at the sale. The first year it was at the Lake St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And we had bought him from, so he's a big shoe. So
Donnie Landell bred this horse. That will explain why he's always trying to get out. Oh, my goodness. And he told me, Donnie came up, he was 3, and he was kind of a hothead of a horse. And I'm, you know, we come up and see the horse in the stalls after you've bought him. And he was kind of my purchase. And I was looking at him, and Donnie comes sidles up right next to me in my ear. And I didn't know the guy at all then. And
sounds he's like Donnie.
You know, he's more of a woman's horse. And I was like, really? I was eating it up. And he knew it. And oh, yeah. He loves women. You're going to get a lot of horse. And I think he was. Fairly green broke. I took him home and I started driving him, and like everything. He took a swipe at Corey's head in the one shot at the first show. Yeah, he almost got him. And that horse, he could get out of a halter. We'd be doing a parade and he'd pop his head back and just pop that halter right off and go running away. One time we're at the Eastern Idaho State Fair, Blackfoot. They have a draft horse show, but you hook on the side of your trailer in the infield of a racehorse racetrack. And at that show, there were probably 300 FFA blue jackets in the center of the thing while everybody was hooking. They were kind of walking through and looking and watching everybody hitch their horses. And Robo was full collar, full everything, all ready to go except for a bridle. And he popped his head out of that halter. And it was like bowling for FFA. He'd go running and they just scatter.
Like Barton Blue Sea. Really
that horse would get out of anything.
He so, did that once at Brit.
Once at Brit on Freeman. So I didn't feel so bad. At the walk track.
Yeah.
He was waiting to dry and I got away. Oh, that horse got away all the time. But no prouder animal was there. He's probably my special horse and he's not with us anymore, but that and probably the Brit show would be my favorite. My favorite horse, favorite show.
I agree with the Brit show. The Brit show is you're usually coming out of a show that was too hot and usually Brit starts to cool down a little bit. And then you have, I don't know, it's almost a tailgate atmosphere. Like everybody's cooking on the back of their trailer and that whole park and facility is just really
pretty.
Really pretty. And it's right in the middle of cornfields. So
unique setup there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's like we're gonna hang out and have a really good time and we may show a little horses too. And that I really like the low pressure.
And it seems like there's a lot of older people in that community that support really that show like crazy.
The way the crowd appreciates you, what you do, that's huge. Absolutely. Who's your favorite horse?
Oh, I've had a few. When we bought one of my first favorites from Bryce Smith.
Right.
And I'm working the deal, and the harder part of working the deal wasn't with Bryce, it was with Annette. And at some point, I think the words come out of my mouth, but he's my one and only.
Oh.
I'm like, I thought I was. But okay.
That might have been a long couple nights after that, but that was a Hal.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Those are
cool. I got a good story on Hal. Yeah. So the year before, I actually sold the Smiths, the group of Clydesdales, right before I went to work for English's. And so that winter we were at Glenn Lewis's with those horses when they were getting sold to Smith. And Hal was a 2-year-old stud. He'd never had a halter on. And so Glenn and I got him caught and we had to haul him from the pasture to the barn. Well, I mean, he'd never had a halter on. So we had to load him in a stock trailer. So anyway, I spend like 10 minutes and we lead Hal around. We get him to the back of the trailer and I'm like, come on, buddy. And then Glenn's like, just wait a second. Just stand here with him. I'll be right back. And all of a sudden he comes around the corner with a tractor and a round bale. I'm like, what's he doing? All of a sudden, boom, Hal got hit on the ass with the round bale and right into the back of the trailer. And that was the first time he got loaded in a trailer.
That's crazy.
Does he load good?
He loads great.
I bet he does.
But you like Briley can walk around his leg.
Yeah.
If not him, it would be Nicholas. I'm a sucker for long neck wheel horses. That's kind of my thing. So.
Yeah.
Well, you got a couple of them you're driving right now.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those is that Nicholas horse, and he's a Shiny Meadows horse.
Okay.
We bought him at the sale, I don't know, 4 years ago.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. And he's
off the Lucas horse probably, isn't he?
Yeah. And that's for a big horse. He can move. He can motor. He's my cart horse. He's the one I usually use for classic carts. So between Hal, they're really built pretty similar. Similar horse.
Very similar.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
And our other wheel horse is Driller, Big Shoe Driller. He's a Donnie Langell bred horse. And he's right now, he's my favorite in the barn. I love that horse a lot. But it has nothing to do with his performance and what he can do. That's all awesome, too. But
it doesn't get weird that Donnie is the breeder of both of them.
He's a ladies' horse. He likes women. It works every time. We've got a lot of good horses from a lot of breeders, and we're so appreciative that they're willing to support us and take a chance on us and let us show them off. We appreciate it.
Yep. We appreciate you guys getting on with us, telling your story, and it's been great.
Yeah. Anything else? Us. Anything else you want to add?
My kids are grounded because they've been sending you all these weird questions to ask. No. We appreciate it. This is a great podcast, and I think it does a good service for a lot of us, keeping us all connected with each other.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for getting on with us, guys, and sharing your story. And we always look forward to seeing you at the shows and competing against you. And we always know you got to have your crap together and High Point rolls in, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Thank
no
you.
Doubt. All right. Thanks, guys.
Penwoods Equine Products is a family-owned and operated business that strives to support the growth, performance, and longevity of your equine family with our premium nutrition supplements. We make all of our products with locally sourced ingredients right here in the USA, so you can always be sure you're getting the highest quality. We've always been horse people. Our products were developed to take care of our own horses, and we continue to back our supplements with real-world horse owner experience. We're proud of the results, and we love sharing our generations of equine knowledge to help meet all of your horse's needs. We want to get to know you and your horses, and we're here to help with any questions you have. So reach out to us. You're part of the Penwoods family. You can visit us at penwoods.com, email us at info@penwoods.com, or follow us on social media.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you drop by our Reinhold Tack and Western Wear mailbag, podcast@naclassicseries.com. Once again, podcast@naclassicseries.com. Any questions or feedback you might have, we would love to hear from you. I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great week, and we'll see you down the road.